Life Audio.
Hello, and welcome to the Daily Bible Podcast with Tricia and Michelle. We're just two friends reading through the Bible chronologically and encouraging you to do the same. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook, Daily Bible Podcast, or go to our website, dailybiblepodcast.net. We are going through the one-year chronological Bible, and we have links for that in our show notes and also at our website.
And we have an amazing online community at Daily Bible Podcast. Just look under the Facebook community groups, which there's hundreds and hundreds of amazing people in there, and I just love getting to know them better.
It is so cool. Berna wrote last week, I think it was last week or so, she said, and she is somebody who comments a lot, and I'm slowly getting to know her, but she said, amazing how God's word from back then still helps us today. It really is. I mean, when you're thinking about a couple of thousand years ago, it's so cool. She says, here's what she's learning. Many times the people disobeyed God and strayed from his holy ways. Well, that's what we see. He had to correct, redirect, and encourage them so many times. And sometimes while reading the Bible, we wonder how these people, knowing God's presence, like being in God's presence like they were, could betray him. Satan wants to destroy our relationship with God, so we must be mindful. And I'm just like, that is an amazing reminder. Yeah. We have to be mindful. Thank you, Berna. Okay, so today we are reading Deuteronomy. We finished chapter 21, so verses 10 through 23, Deuteronomy 22, 23, 24, and 25. So remember, Deuteronomy is Moses repeating the instructions to the Israelites. So the instructions that we received over Leviticus and Numbers, he's also including the law, which we saw in Exodus. So we are seeing the significance that God's law means for his people. We're seeing how he wants them to love him, how he wants them to conquer the land that he has for them, but most importantly, how he is asking them to be holy, to be set apart as he is holy.
It's such a good reminder that, because sometimes it's in the dailiness of reading through these passages, we're like, oh, I just need something more uplifting. But it's that taking a step back. He wants them to be holy. Yeah. And, you know, as we begin today's reading, the writer in me is like picturing the scenarios that are happening. So first, if a woman is captured in war, she's given 1 month to mourn, and then she can be married to her captor. I'm like picturing a month. Like, you have a month to mourn, and then you're someone else's wife who captured you. That's intense. Or a woman who is married to a man.
It's very intense.
I know.
Like, I mean, I know. Just picture, I'm slowly just picturing that too in my mind. And I'm just like, no wonder people look at the Old Testament and say how barbaric. It's like, really? Okay.
Yeah. So that's one scenario. Another one is a woman who is married to a man with more than one wife. And if she's barren and unloved, you know, don't cast her away. And I'm like, that poor woman. Yeah. I'm thinking of like Hannah, but even Leah and Rachel, at least Leah had children. Yeah. So she wasn't barren. But the situations that people put themselves in. And so it made me think these are both very heartbreaking situations. But pulling back, these laws are a way of God's, he's gentling humanity. He's like, have some heart, people. He's pointing out ways to care for those living in less than ideal circumstances. Like, come on, guys, just have a heart. Give her time to mourn. Love this other wife. She's barren. She feels unloved. It's like God's gentling them. And then the last chapter of our reading, there's another hard situation. A woman who's died without children, and it's prescribed that her husband's brother should marry her and have intercourse with her. And the first son that she bears will be considered the son of the dead brother. So his name will not be forgotten. First of all, I have two brother-in-laws, and I'm like, no, don't want to be doing that. But as we see in our months of reading, legacies and names are very important. Also, sons were the welfare system of the ancient world. So if her husband died and she had no son. Who would care for this woman when she got older? So God's solution was you marry the brother-in-law and have a child with him. Which, you know, again, not something I would want to do if my husband died, is marry one of my brother-in-laws.
I don't think
Michelle's like shaking her head.
I'm shaking my head.
You have brother-in-laws now, Michelle.
I do. It's so weird. Like my family just expanded in the time of a day. Like, whoa. No, I'm quite content with my husband right now. So
yes, good. Also Deuteronomy 21:22-23, it stood out to me. If someone has committed a crime worthy of death and is executed and hung on a tree, I like, Michelle, what does that make you think of? Jesus. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The body must not remain hanging from the tree overnight. You must bury the body the same day, for anyone who is hung is cursed in the sight of God. And so we know this definitely foreshadows Jesus, and he was hung on the tree. And, you know, just all these, again, things in the Old Testament that just show it lived out. There's more in the upcoming chapters about sexual conduct and dealing with property and marriage. There's animal welfare laws. There was who's not allowed to enter the assembly of the Lord, including those who are castrated or born out of wedlock. We have a lot of people born out of wedlock in my family. Yeah. It's just like a lot of myself and my oldest son and my cousins, a lot of that. So that all these things stand out. And then laws, Deuteronomy 24, divorce laws, debt laws. We go into a marriage and inheritance and punishment. So all these things, they are just lots of laws that God's talking about. But another thing that stood out was Deuteronomy 23:24-25. If you go into your neighbor's vineyard, you may eat your fill of grapes, as many as you wish, but you shall not put any in a container. If you go into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the ears with your hand, but you shall not put a sickle to your neighbor's standing grain. And it's interesting that these laws, they allow Jesus' disciples to pluck grain from local fields as they traveled. So remember, it talked about they were walking on their way and they were plucking grains, grains and eating them. So gleaners had to harvest the food, but landowners also had to let people walking by eat them. So I just thought that was interesting, again, tying to the Old Testament to the New Testament. So it's just amazing how we see these things and we see that it just seems like laws and it's just so much. But then we see that these are actual things that are going to be applicable in the New Testament as Jesus is walking around.
Well, and I love the fact that you said that these, it seems like these are just laws for the sake of having laws, but it's God's way of gentling humanity, because some of these laws do seem so unfair. Like you said, if who is allowed in God's house, who's allowed in the tabernacle, in some ways that seems so unfair of who he is casting out, but and other laws, it just seems like, really, it just seems like you're being so picky, but he's not. He's helping us to think of others. He's helping us to think of him first and foremost, but he's helping us to think of others, helping us to consider others and to love others and to see how we can come alongside others.
Yeah.
And it's a people. What I'm seeing is his heart to have his people not only set apart for him, but his people learning how to love each other well and to be a true community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which, like you're saying, this was barbaric. The nations around them are barbaric. They were prone to that. And God's like, let's do things other ways, which we think, okay, this is still hard, but it's better than the alternative. It's better than how people were treating each other and how we tend to treat each other.
Yeah. There's one verse that I wanted to bring up today. And that was from Deuteronomy 22, 23 through 24, because this came up in church on Sunday and I hadn't read it yet. And so I was just like, oh, that's what we're going to be listening to, or that's what we're going to be talking about. And anyway, it says, suppose a man meets a young woman, a virgin who is engaged to be married, and he has sexual intercourse with her. If this happens within a town, you must take both of them to the gates of that town and stone them to death. The woman is guilty because she did not scream for help. The man must die because he violated another man's wife. In this way, you will purge this evil from among you. Okay, so first of all, I kept seeing purge evil, purge evil, purge evil for the last couple of days in our readings. But it just, it struck me, and it, I was so thankful to my pastor and how he dealt with this. But, you know, betrothal back then, engagement wasn't like engagement now. Betrothal basically did mean a wife. And so in this passage, you're like, they're engaged. What are you talking about? They're not another man's wife. They're just engaged. But that was a stronger commitment. We think of engagement as a strong commitment, but we also think of engagement easily as that time to really look and see, are these two people compatible? Because, I mean, I talked to a marriage counselor and he was like, yeah, when we do premarital counseling, we try to break the couple up. And so just to see and help them understand what kind of commitment they need to have. But here from the beginning of the Old Testament, we're seeing that that engagement period is supposed to be a very strong time of commitment where it's already kind of like considered wife.
Yeah. And I think that's so important just in relationships. People are so in and out of relationships these days. My friend Robin Jones Gunn and I wrote a book called Praying for Your Future Husband. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, you're dating someone and you think, well, maybe this might be my future husband. Well, maybe not. Maybe he's someone else's future husband. And how, like, or maybe you are someone else's future wife. Are you protecting yourself for your future husband? Are you protecting that guy you're with for to be someone else's future husband? Mm-hmm. These in and out of relationships that we see in society today, they're serious. They're serious relationships that have an impact on future marriages, including ours. So we need to think about all these things.
Mm-hmm. Such a good point. Okay, well, we need to take a break. We need to hear from our sponsor today, and then we'll be back with the word of the day. Stay tuned.
Okay, the word of the day is possession. It's an item of property or something that belongs to one. So all these laws seem so overwhelming, but really it comes down to this. The Israelites were God's possession. Mm-hmm. And because of that, they needed to treat their possessions differently. So these chapters emphasize the importance of justice and fairness in society and the need for Israelites to obey God's laws to ensure their prosperity and success in the land. And they haven't entered the promised land yet, but God wants to ensure that they look different as his special possession. And then even as we brought up relationships, like you were just talking about, this is someone else's possession when they marry them someday. How are we treating each other? But mostly God's special possessions. We should look and act differently as we look at things from that point of view.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think of, I mean, because Israel was God's special possession, he treated them differently than the other nations. He blessed them, but he also cursed them. As we're starting to read about, I mean, he's starting to lay down some blessings and some curses. Yeah. And I go back to like my life verse, and I mentioned this earlier. I think it was last week, 1 Peter 2:9-10, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession that you may proclaim the excellencies that he called, because he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I think that is so beautiful because there is an action. We, as his possession, we need to be proclaiming his excellencies. But as his possession, he called us out of darkness. He called the Israelites out of slavery. And I'm just thinking through how we treat a special possession. Like I'm thinking of my grandmother's china, or mm-hmm. I'm thinking of the grandmother's ring that she passed down to me. How do I treat it? Am I going to drop it? Am I going to fling it around the room? Am I going to let everyone hold it? Am I going to hide it in a closet? Unfortunately, the ring is hidden right now. It's in a safe. But I think of how my mom loves her grandmother's china, and it is not in a china hut somewhere. It is actually, she uses it daily. She washes it. She washes it every night really nicely, but every day she uses it and she's very careful with it, but she uses it. It's not just something that's on display. It's something that is being used for everybody to enjoy. And, you know, how are we treating our special possessions? Mm-hmm. How are we treating God? Is he something that is on display in our lives? Is the word of God close to us? I mean, I think it is to many of us listening here today, because we're reading his word daily. But how close is it to us? Is he our special possession?
That's yeah, I question. Love that. Is he our special possession? And I love that point that we are his special possession. And sometimes special possessions aren't even that great to look at. So I have a teddy bear. It was mine when I was little. It is like worn out. The ears are nearly falling off. You can see the rub spots where when I don't even remember sleeping with it, but when I was little, I guess I did not let this teddy bear go. It has a wind up music box and I keep it up on my bookshelf on the top. So it's not where the kids could reach it because they would ruin it all the way. And it's a special possession. It looks tattered. Like if someone saw it, they'd be like, yeah, this thing needs to be thrown out. But it's my special Lala bear. And my mom, she's here living with us now. And she walked to my room. She goes, you have your Lala bear. And I said, yeah, but the music box doesn't work anymore. And I picked it up and I wound it and it started playing. And I literally tears filled my eyes. I'm like, Lala bear is playing again. I don't know. It was broken. It works now. I don't know why or how that happened, but I was like, Lala bear is working. Mm. And God's like, you know what? You are battered. You are worn. Yeah. You might not look that great right now, but you are my special possession. You know, once you were not my people, but now we're God's people. And he has chosen us, even if we're looking a mess right now, we are his special possession.
That's such a good point. Would you pray for us today, Tricia?
Yeah. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that we are your special possession. And sometimes, Lord, the doubts and the fears and all the things, they fill our mind and we don't feel special at all. But I pray, Lord, that as we turn to you and we seek your forgiveness and we seek your mercy and your grace, that you will just put up a mirror to see a reflection of how you see us, Lord, that we may feel battered and torn and nothing, but you see us as priceless. And I pray that today each of us will just be reminded that we are priceless to God. Mm. And in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, we are just sending you off with some daily encouragement to get into the Word and be the hands and feet of Jesus. Again, if you don't have the one-year chronological Bible, we have links to that in our show notes. You can also find the one-year chronological Bible in the Kindle format. Also in the show notes is a monthly and yearly schedule of the Bible reading plan that we are following. Tomorrow, we are reading Deuteronomy 26, 27, 28, and just the first verse of 29.
I thought that was so interesting. Just the first verse.
It's always fascinating where there are certain breaks in the Bible and chapters and yeah, just the first verse. And for those of you who have been trudging through the law with us and you might be feeling a little bit tired, which is what I said to Tricia just before we started recording this podcast. I was like, I love Deuteronomy, but I'm just feeling a little bit worn down right now.
Yes, well, me too.
Hello, we've got 3 days from now, we're going to get to read a psalm. Woo-hoo. woo. And so then 4 days from now, we're going to enter into the promised land with Joshua. So
we will be celebrating. It will be a good time.
Well, I just want to take a second here to thank the team at Life Audio. You would not be listening to Trisha and myself and the Daily Bible Podcast without their partnership. Go to lifeaudio.com. You'll find other great podcasts to encourage you in your walk with God. And also, I want to also thank to the gal who is hard working behind the scenes, Kristen. Thank you, Kristen,
yes,
for all that you do. Your work does not go unnoticed.
And Andy, her husband, helps her Andy, thank you for taking out all our mistakes. Not all of them, but some of them. We can't take out all of them, but thank you, Andy.
Thank you very much.
And we will see you here tomorrow.
Okay, bye-bye.